Good morning. Yeah, that's pretty good. I am not Pastor Nolan. My name is Stephen Day. I get to be the associate pastor and student pastor here at Life Church. Pastor Nolan is out of town on spring break for a much needed break. We all need to be taking those from time to time. So be in prayer for him and Ashley and the family as they are gone. We've been going through 1 Corinthians, and this morning we're going to take a little break from that. We have a family service this morning, so we have some kids in here. We're just going to take a break. We're going to talk about parenting in this thing called life this morning. So if you would, just join me in praying one more time. Father, your word, Father, is holy, it is perfect, it is living, it is truth. Father, it is the standard for our lives. Father, as we dive into Scripture this morning, it is my prayer, Father, that nothing comes out of my mouth is from me, but it's all from you. So, Father, give us ears to hear this morning, Father. Have your way in this place this morning. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Right. Now, I look around and I see young marrieds who don't have children yet. I see empty nesters, if you will. I see parents who have little dinky ones. See parents that have teenagers. I see some that up to this point they've been called to a life of singleness. I see some that they have like half a child right now. Like, right? So throughout this morning, you're going to hear me say parents a good deal. Like, parents, do this thing. But I want you to understand this before we dive in this morning. I'm talking to everybody. This applies to all of us. And the reality of it is, if you are sitting in this room right now as a disciple of Jesus, you are part of a family. So, without further ado, if you would, we're gonna skip around a little bit. So we're gonna be in Luke chapter 14 for just a second, and then we're gonna go to James, then we're gonna go to Psalms. I'm just gonna take just a minute. Y'all flip there. Now, as you're flipping, I'm gonna ask y'all to do something really, really crazy. All right, if you have one of these, and I understand. Listen, I understand that you might use this to like click a bunch of things to see like your Bible on this. I get it. If at all possible, and this has to do with the sermon, if at all possible, I want you to take this out of your pocket and turn it off. I heard like just share. If at all possible, I know that some of us might have some emergencies or we can't because we're on call. But don't trick yourself. If at all possible, like, turn it off. And that is like, that's hard, right? For some of us, that's a difficult thing to do. what if somebody texts me in the next 30 minutes? It'll be okay. I promise it'll be okay. I'm going to try my best to keep it short this morning. We've got some special stuff at the end for y'all. It's a special time of prayer as families this morning. So Luke 14, 25 through 26. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And we struggle with this. There's a lot of controversy that surrounds this because of this word hate here. Like, how in the world could Jesus tell us to hate somebody else? What he's doing here, within the context, he's answering the question, what do I have to do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And he's talking about the cost of discipleship. And clearly, he's not telling us to literally hate our parents or our children. What he's saying is that our love for him must greatly outweigh our love for anybody or anything else. Commentator and theologian Leon Morris, he puts it this way. Jesus' meaning is surely that the love the disciple has for him must be so great that the best of earthly loves is hatred by comparison. Jesus says it. The greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So we ask the question, like, we're talking about parenting, we're talking about raising our children, like, why are we starting here? Why are we starting in this place? Because when we love Jesus in this way, our relationship with others drastically changes. It drastically changes. It's loving Jesus with your everything. Because here's the deal, like church, when we love Jesus in this way, the outcome of that is self-sacrificial love for your neighbor. That's the outcome. So let's break it down even more. Like, wives, husbands, when you love Jesus in this way, the outcome is this self-sacrificial love for your spouse. And you see the word "most" up there. That's the best word I could come up with. It is. Like, Jesus is saying, love me with your everything. Love me with your everything. So when we talk about parenting, we talk about raising up our children, where that starts is loving Jesus with our everything. This is where it all begins. So we're going to look at two main things this morning. We're going to look at loving our children well through this thing called life as they face and come upon trials? And how do we love them well, and how do we teach them to face and handle temptations? What does it look like to love our children through trials? What's it look like? So, James chapter 1. And if you turned your phone off and you don't have paper, it'll be up here. It says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, the word trial here in Greek, it actually has, it can have two different meanings. One is, it can mean this temptation or enticement to sin. And the other is this sickness or persecution or hardships that just come about this thing called life. And in this context right here, that's what James is referring to. He's referring to the persecution that we are going to face, or the hardships, the sickness that some of us might face. That they all look different. They vary. But the first thing I want us to notice here is that these trials, they're promised. They're promised. He doesn't say if, like, well, if you meet trials. He said, like, when? Like, this is going to happen. When you meet trials. And there's something else about this that I want specifically us as parents to see this. This is very important. James also doesn't say, when you become an adult, you're going to meet trials. But he doesn't say, well, you're kind of safe from facing these things until you leave mom and dad. And here's why I say that. Our children and our youth are not immune to trials. They're not. They're going to face hardships. They are going to be ridiculed for their faith. If you don't believe me, step into a middle school. Middle schoolers are brutal. And I'm a parent. Shannon and I have three amazing children. And it is heart-crushing when your daughter comes home in tears because somebody has said something because of her faith. But so often, what we want to do as parents is we want to protect our kids. Like, at all costs, how can I protect my children? How can I protect them from hurt or pain or persecution or hardships? And I'm certainly not saying that protecting your children is a bad thing. Of course, as parents, it's our job. We should be protecting our children. But here's what I'm getting at. If we aren't careful, when our child comes upon trials in life, our first thought is, how can I relieve them from the pain and the heartache, instead of how can I help them understand that there's purpose and meaning behind all of this? And the purpose and the meaning has the weight of eternity on top of it. And that's, it's hard for us as parents to like watch our kids deal with hurt. It's difficult. How do we help them find joy through it? What do we do when our senior in high school comes home injured? And the scholarships that he has are no longer. What do we do when our son or our daughter comes home crying and discouraged because they're just brutally being picked on because they're a disciple of Jesus? What do we do when we get a phone call from a doctor that we don't want to hear? We point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Point them back to this. See, I think that oftentimes as parents, we're not willing to be transparent at all. We want our kids to think that we have this perfect life and we're not struggling. We're not facing anything hard. That's a silly thought. Like, be transparent in a healthy way. Like, right? Don't be go spilling like the whole can of beans to your kids, because that's not a good thing. But we need to be transparent to us, at least to a certain extent. They need to understand. They need to see how you as parents, they need to see, not just as parents, they need to see how we all deal with trials. Be transparent. Point them back to the Word. Help them understand there's purpose, there's meaning behind all of it. And walk with them through those times. I think sometimes we have this thought in our mind that when our children or teenagers go through those things, we think, well, that's just a trial for me. No, it has meaning, it has purpose for their life. Walk with them, pray with them, ask them questions. Sit down and have conversations with your kids. Turn the things off that we just turned off. Kids, teenagers, listen to me. Listen, like, look at me. This is important. This is crazy important. Talk to your parents. Talk with them. Tell them, Mom, Dad, I'm dealing with this thing. Don't bottle that stuff up. Talk with them. And I get it. I've been in youth ministry for, 8 years now, whatever. I lost track. I get it. Like, there's times where kids come to me about stuff because they don't want to go to their parents. And some of that's, like, legit. I'd be like, I get it. But talk with someone. Don't store that stuff up. Talk with someone. Ask someone to come alongside you and to help you through those things. Church, for y'all empty nesters especially, there's sometimes I need some advice. I'm just being real. I don't have it all figured out. Like the world's greatest dad t-shirt, I don't rate to wear it. I don't even own one. Like, come and like ask us, like, hey, how things going? How's Mason? How's Reagan? How's Little Bit? And sometimes my answer might be, well, they're good, but let me tell you, like, I don't know how to deal with this thing. You got any advice? You walk with each other through this. These trials, they're promised. Do they hurt? Yeah. Is there meaning? Yeah. Produces steadfastness. Makes us look more like Jesus. Is good. Help your children walk through those things. So, not only do we deal with these trials, heartache, persecution, deal with this thing called temptation as well. So, Psalm 119, we'll start in verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9, and there's a reason that I wanted to go here specifically. Because the psalmist addresses young man. The young man. So we'll just go through all of it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I think there's a specific reason he says young man, young woman. And here's why. As children grow into their youth, they will undoubtedly face this whirlwind of temptations that they have never seen before. And it will hit them like a ton of bricks. And at that point in their life, listen, at that point in their life, they're going to start making decisions on their own about how to handle those temptations. I have not seen a parent get on a school bus and ride to school with their sixth or seventh grader. It might happen. I don't know about it. New study came out, and I'll be careful on the words that I use this morning. The new age for being introduced to pictures, right, is 10 years old. It's not 16 anymore. It's not 14 anymore. It's 10. That is the average age. That's the same age that most people become addicted to it. Like, now you don't have to have your toes to count the age. You can just count it on your fingers. 10. Because while your 10-year-old might not have one of those computers in their pocket, I promise you somebody at school does. I assure you of it. And see, here's the deal. What the world is telling our young children, what the world is telling our youth is, like, well, just go have as much fun as you want to while you're young. Like, go get it out of the way. Go experiment with this or with that. Go live life to the fullest before you have to settle down and get a real job and get married and all of this stuff. And while the world won't admit this, here's what they're really saying, young ones. Here's what they're telling you to do. What they're telling you is go and live a life that leads to destruction. That's exactly what they're telling. Just walking around with my Bible in my hammock earlier this week, looking for a couple of good trees, and I came upon this. And here's the thing about that. Kids, teenagers, adults as well. We come up to that image every single day. And when we do, we have to make a choice. Either I'm going to go right, or I'm going to go left. Because we can't stand there and stare at it forever. You got to go one way or the other. You have to. And I firmly believe that the habits that are built as young children and young teenagers are harder to break when you get older. And listen, parents, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but you would be shocked at how many times I've heard older adults say, well, I faced the same things growing up as kids face today. No, you didn't. You didn't. I didn't. And I'm still young. And y'all laugh. I didn't have a computer in my pocket. I didn't have instant access to any type of information I ever wanted, whenever I wanted. I didn't have the tug of social media always wanting me to look at it. I didn't have people on social media begging for my attention or telling me what I'm supposed to look like or what I'm supposed to be doing. I didn't have any of that. I had a creek in the neighborhood. That's right. And I drank out of a water hose. And I'm still breathing. With cell phones, movies, music, social media, instant access to information. Teachers.
Yeah.
This constant tug and pull to go down the wrong path. Somebody didn't turn their phone off. It's okay. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, something very important for us here. The word seek is in the perfect tense. The word seek is in the perfect tense. What's that mean? It's something that's already been done and is continuously being done. And that is so important for us to see that. Because if we're to walk in purity, if we're to keep our way pure, preparation has to be done before you face the temptation. Let's say it one more time. Kids, teenagers, church. Preparation must be done beforehand. So that means we have a job to do, parents. We have a job to do, church. And it's to teach our children how to guard their lives according to the Word of God before they face temptation. I sought you. There's this dedication to God and to storing the Word of God in our hearts. This should come above and before anything else. It's dedication that comes before and above anything and everything in life. I sought you. I seek you. So here's the question. For all of us, me included, what am I seeking? What am I seeking? Better yet, who am I seeking? Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. And in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. There's 2 points here. We need help understanding. And first and foremost, that help comes from Holy Spirit. It comes from God. Teach me your statutes. Here's the other thing. When I sit down in a classroom, if I want to learn something from a teacher, I have to be quiet. I don't know if we're taking time to listen. We live in this society, we live in this world, it's like, go, 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 go. Look at me. Do this thing. Check the work email at 2 a.m. I used to do it, I'm not going to lie. Two in the morning. Why are you checking email at 2 a.m? I have to slow down. Just slow down. And there's a strong similarity here that aligns with Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. And I'm just going to read it. It says, just hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Parents, listen. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Let me put it in like today's times. When you're standing at the bus stop with your kid, teach them the word. When you're sitting down having dinner with your children, teach them the word. When you're going for a walk in the woods, teach your children the word. Teach them diligently. And like, in there's this thing called life. We come across trials and temptations. And alongside of those trials, alongside of those temptations, there's just a plethora of stuff that's just begging for us. It's begging for us. Like work. Emails. Cell phones. PlayStations, YouTube, and that one says politics. Politics. And the list is just, it goes on and on and on. And here's what happens. We allow all of this stuff take over. Before you know it, the word is just it's buried underneath. And before you know it, we wake up on Sunday. And we actually have to ask ourselves, like, hey, where's my Bible? Because this stuff just gets in the way. It's not bad in and of itself. Like, there's nothing wrong with email. Praise Jesus for it. We got to communicate with people all over the planet. But here's the thing. We have to understand is this. Yeah, this thing called life and all of this stuff, right? And how we deal with this goes from this verse. Pastor. See, we turned your cell phones off about 30 minutes ago, and you know what? Everything's still on. See? I told you there's meaning. It's still on. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song, and while we do this, if you have a child in the nursery, while we're singing, I'm going to ask you to go and get your child and come back over here. Don't leave. Don't leave. I'm going to watch you. Make sure you come back. Go and get your child, come back during the song, and when we're done singing, we're going to take some time, parents, we're going to pray over our children, all right? So, let's pray and we'll do that. Y'all go get your kids.